Do you feel like you just cannot overcome these desires that are within you that you know that are not of God? Do you think there's no hope? There's no way I'll ever be set free? Oh, beloved, there is hope and there is a way. And this is what life in the Spirit is all about. Life in the Spirit is you being able to be what you ought to be and to please God in every way. Position is so key. I mean, being in the right position at the right time. It's key in sports. It's key in business. It's key. And it's key in Christianity. It is so important for you, beloved, to understand who you are in Christ, what your position is in Jesus Christ. And this is what life in the Spirit is all about. Now, in our last program, we were looking at Ephesians. And so what I want us to do is I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want us to see the process of getting the Holy Spirit in us, the process of getting the Holy Spirit in us, and then what that position of the Holy Spirit in us accomplishes us for us. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I love this chapter. I absolutely love this chapter because it is written without a period. It is written without a pause. It is a eulogy. It opens with, "Blessed be the Lord and God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as He, God, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love." And it goes on and on and on. And finally, it comes down to verse 13. And it says, "In Him, in Christ." And this is a key phrase in the book of Ephesians. It's a phrase that you would want to mark if you're going to read through the book of Ephesians. And sometime we'll study it together. But it says, "In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth." Now, here's a time phrase. So it's you also, after you listen to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What is that message of truth that you heard? It's the good news of your salvation. "Having also believed, you were sealed in Him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise." Many times when you read Paul's epistles, when you read Galatians, you'll hear the promise, the promise, the promise. We know what that means. If you've been studying with me from the beginning of the series of Life in the Spirit, you know what it means. You know that the Holy Spirit was promised. You know that the Holy Spirit has come. You know what happened when He came. You know what happened when He came to Jews and what happened when He came to Gentiles. I mean, you know. Isn't that wonderful? You know. So if you say, "I don't know, and I wish I had known," well, then just go to preceptsforlife.com. Get on the internet and go to preceptsforlife.com. And there you can connect with us and you can find out how to get this whole series, how to go through and how to mark your Bible. But I want you to see what he's saying here now in the process of salvation. So he says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, having also believed, you were sealed in Him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise." So if you are imagining with me, you know that the handkerchief that I am putting on the top of my head is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Watch what he says. You hear, you believe, you're sealed, and then he says, "with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or as a guarantee of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did you just say? Well, I just read to you verse 14, which is describing who the Holy Spirit is. So you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So that sealing with the Holy Spirit is given to you as a pledge, as a guarantee, or to put it another way, as a ticket or as a seal that someday God is going to redeem this purchased possession. When God saved you, he bought you body, soul, and spirit. And that's why when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he keeps saying, I pray that your body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. Body, soul, and spirit. He bought you. He moved inside of you, but also he purchased you. And when he purchased you, it means that he is going to take this body, and this corruptible is going to put on incorruptible. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And so he's saying, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. All right, now watch. Because I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, when I die, then the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that I'm going to be admitted into heaven. The Holy Spirit is my ticket into heaven. The Holy Spirit is the one who says, okay, this mortal is going to put on immortality. You're going to have a brand new body. Someday you're going to walk in a body like Jesus Christ had when he was raised from the dead. Remember, if you read the end of the Gospel of John, the disciples are all in a room and all of a sudden Jesus comes in, but he does not open the door. He just walks right on through. So we're going to have a new redeemed body. So you got the picture. Number one, you hear the gospel. Number two, you believe in your heart. Number three, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the process that happens. Hear, believe, sealed. Now, knowing that helps you as you give the gospel and as you watch God work in a person's life. All right, now when that happens, what happens to me spiritually? Well, I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, it's an awesome, awesome chapter. And in Romans 8, what you would want to do is you would want to mark every reference to the Holy Spirit. And then you would want to mark every reference to the flesh. Because what he's going to do, he's going to contrast, listen carefully, those that are in the flesh. And just imagine my two red gloves, all right? One is a man, but he's devoid of God. The other red glove, filled with my hand now, because God has come in to my life, and he's come in, and John tells me that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide in me. So you have two entities here. You have those that are the natural man that has fallen, that is, has the image of God is distorted. He is a sinner. He is lost. He is dying. He is going to hell. He can't do anything. He has no power. He is dead in his trespasses and sins, as we saw some time back. Then you have the other person who is according to the Spirit. The Spirit of God is inside that person. So what Romans 8 does is Romans 8 at the beginning of the chapter contrasts those that are in the flesh and those that are in the Spirit. So you would want to mark both of those. And then when you finish, just take a piece of paper and list everything that you learn about those that are according to the flesh and those that are according to the Spirit. According to means under the domination of. Now, watch what he says. In Romans chapter 6, he has explained to them that when Jesus Christ died, they died with him. When Jesus Christ was buried, they were buried with him. When Jesus Christ was raised to walk in newness of life, they were raised to walk in newness of life also. They also explain, then Paul also explains in Romans chapter 7, the Christian's relationship to the law, that all the law could do was show us our sin, that the law could not make us righteous. And so he's showing now that you are no longer married to Mr. Law. Instead, you are married to Mr. Christ, if you want to put it that way. All right, now we've come to Romans 8, and we come to a conclusion. When you see a therefore in the scriptures, ask what the therefore is therefore, because it's a term of conclusion. And so you want to spot those. Now, when I'm marking my Bible, I mark therefore with three red dots in the shape of a triangle. That's my symbol for therefore. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, three red dots, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now remember, in Ephesians 1, we saw that we are in Him, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So He's saying there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? You can never be condemned. You can never be condemned. Man can come along and condemn you, but not God. And if God is for you, who can be against you? So better to be condemned by man, but not to be condemned by God. Why is there no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? For the law or the principle, now he's not talking Ten Commandments. He's talking about principle. For the law, like the law of gravity is a principle of gravity. All right, so he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law or the principle of sin and death. In other words, the lost man can only live in sin. The lost man is dead in his trespasses and sins. But when Christ comes in, then Christ in you overcomes the law of sin and death. In other words, hey, you're no longer a sinner. You are no longer a slave to sin. He establishes that in Romans chapter 6, you're no longer a slave to sin. Romans 7, you're no longer under the condemnation of the law. Why? Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the law of the Spirit enables you to overcome the law of sin and death. Let me just show you this in an illustration. I love it when we fly. And many, many times I'll be doing work, I'll be reading something, and takeoff time will come. And I love takeoff time. I just kind of sit back, look out the window if I'm sitting next to the window, and just enjoy that surge of power. And as it comes, I'm reminded of life in the Spirit. Does the law of gravity still exist? Yes, the law of gravity still exists, but it is overcome by the power of the Spirit. Listen, this is the position we're talking about, and we'll look at it more right after this break.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
This year, I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017, and we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org /2017 to get started.
You're back, beloved. Now, let's get back into Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do. The law said, be righteous. The law said, be holy. The law said, do this, do that. But the law could not make me holy. It could only tell me how. It did not give me the power to be holy. So what the law could not do, weak as it was, now watch this carefully, weak as it was through the flesh. In other words, the law was speaking to the flesh, and the law was saying, do this, and do this. And the flesh was just so weak. And because the flesh was so weak, the flesh couldn't measure up to the law. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not a sinner, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, because when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for you and me. God took all of your sins, and God took all of my sins, and God placed them upon Jesus Christ. And because He placed them upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus was made sin for us, then He took care of our sin. So watch what it says, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. He put it to death. In order that, this is the reason, in order that the requirement of the law, here's the law with its standard, might be fulfilled in us. Now watch, in us who do not walk according to the flesh. The flesh is impotent to keep the law, but according to the Spirit. So now the Spirit of God inside of us enables us to keep the requirement of the law. It enables us to measure up to what the law is all about. Let's look at it again. In order that the requirement, verse 4 of Romans 8, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk, and here's that phrase, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you want to mark Spirit there. If nothing else, do that right now. And then listen to what he says in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh. Now imagine a glove without a hand in it. All right, that's according to the flesh. Imagine a glove with a hand in it, with God in it, with the Spirit in it. So that's according to the Spirit. So catch the contrast. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, they're just fleshly thinking. And they're fleshly thinking because they're not in tune or connected with God. But those who are according to the Spirit put their mind on the things of the Spirit. In other words, now they're interested in true spiritual things. There are many people in this world that are interested in the spiritual, and you find them putting little shrines and altars in their home and going through all sorts of kind of experiences trying to connect with the spiritual self. They do yoga and things like that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the one and only true Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God. And so he says that those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life, and catch this, peace. There's peace. See, I have a peace in my life, even in the midst of trials, because I know God, because I have the Spirit, because I have the mind of God through that. We'll look at that later. It's part of my position. But because I have those things, then I have peace. I know who's in charge. I know who's running this universe. I know whom I belong. I know the person to whom I belong. And I am fully convinced that He is able, that He is able to keep everything that I've given Him, to guard it until that day when I am absent from this body and I am present with the Lord, when this mortal is put on immortality, when He redeems this purchased possession. I've got life and I've got peace. Because, verse 7, the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. It sets its back. It turns its back against God. And it says, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Here's the law of God, and it's saying, obey me. And it's not doing it. It doesn't care. It's not going to do it. It doesn't care. And so it says, but the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. And you know what? It's not able to do so. It is dead. It is lifeless. And those who are in the flesh without the Spirit, just their bodies and not the Spirit of God in them, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Doesn't matter what they do, doesn't matter how they try, because they don't have the Spirit of God inside of them, they cannot please God. Where are you? Let's just stop for a minute and ask God to speak to your heart. Father, I just pray right now for those that are listening to your word, listening to your truth right now. I pray that you would show them exactly where they are, whether Christ is in them or whether He's not, whether they are only in the flesh or whether they are in the Spirit. Father, make it so clear to them and open the eyes of their understanding and draw them to you, Father, if they do not know you, if Christ is not in them, the hope of glory, and show them that this is why they're so exhausted trying to be good, and they can't be good because they're not positioned in Christ with Christ in them. I thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' precious name, by the power of your Spirit, amen. Thank you. It's such a privilege to pray with you. All right. Usually we have so much to do that I don't do that very often. But if you like me to pray with you, would you write and or get on the internet? That's preceptsforlife.com, and get on that internet and say, hey, Kay, this is what I'd like you to do in the program. This is what I want to hear. This is the kind of relationship that I want with you over those airwaves. All right. Now let's go to verse 9. He says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So here's the contrast. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now watch what he says. You want to mark every reference to the Spirit. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. You do not belong to God. So when you believe, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you are in Christ. No Spirit, no salvation. So what's the position? The position to be in Christ is to be, have the Holy Spirit in you. And he goes on to say this, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, someday this body is going to have to be put off. And it's dead because of sin. So this mortal has to die physically, but it's going to be raised immortal. So watch what he says. The corruptible is going to put on incorruption. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. But let me just show you this. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So Imagine my glove filled with my hand and the handkerchief, the Holy Spirit, stuck inside. All right, you die, the body is dead, but you are alive and you go, because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you go into the presence of God. And then God is going to resurrect that dust. He's going to put it back together, and you are going to have an immortal body. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So that's the question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God is in you who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Remember, we saw in Ephesians 1, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of our redemption, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the redemption of this mortal body. Goes on to say, so then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. When your flesh cries out, give me, give me, give me what I cry for, you need to say, I'm not under obligation to you. I don't have to give you what you cry for, because I'm walking in the Spirit. So he says, so then, beloved, we are under obligation, not according to the flesh, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for, and he's going to warn him again, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. He says, but if by the Spirit, now, this is your position. If by the Spirit you are putting to death the desires of the body, the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, look, your position of Christ in you enables you to live life on a higher plane. It enables you to live not according to your flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is your possession in Christ, position in Christ. This is your possession too, is the Holy Spirit. And this is what enables you to be holy, even as God is holy. This is life in the Spirit, beloved. And you know what? When you live according to the flesh, you get up the next day, or you turn around the next minute and you go, yuck, yuck, why did I do that? You say, well, can a Christian ever do anything according to the flesh? Oh, come on. You know that, don't you? If you've been around me, you've seen me do things according to the flesh. But it's not my lifestyle. It's not my habit, because Christ is in me and I'm in Christ. You say, I want to know more about that. You're right. You do. And we're going to look at it in the programs to come, beloved. Thank you so much for studying with me.
Thank you for watching today. For books or Bible study materials discussed on this program, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com. For more information about Precept Ministries International, log on to our website, preceptsforlife.com, or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.